Welcome to How Do I Get Your Job, a podcast from The Daily where we meet with professionals and pick their brains on how you can work a job just like theirs. My name is Patrick Harley.
And I'm Anita Zen.
And a big thanks to our sponsors.
Elm Coffee Roasters, open in Pioneer Square and Slough for takeout and soon indoor seating. Order coffee and more at elmcoffeeroasters.com. Today we welcome Neda Gafarian, a Program Manager for Curriculum and Student Services with the UW's Community Engagement and Leadership Education Center. She just started working at the University of Washington recently. So Neda, how are you adjusting to the UW?
Hi, well thanks for having me. I'm definitely still in transition, I think, to the new job, but I'm very grateful to be here at the UW because when I was searching for jobs, this job really hit all of my passion areas and my professional goals, so I'm just very grateful to be here, but definitely still in transition.
Definitely understandable. Take some time to adjust. So we're here today to talk about your work with the Community Engagement and Leadership Center, more commonly known as the CELA Center. So Neda, what exactly is the center and its role on campus?
Yeah, so the Community Engagement and Leadership Education Center, or the CELE Center, as we like made that acronym for it, it's pretty new. So the CELE Center is a really new center, and they kind of combined and brought together programs that were all affiliated with Seattle Community, with Seattle Communities, and we're doing some sort of community engagement education for UW students. And so we have a number of different programs in the office. I help oversee the Education 401 classes as well as the Education 260 course, and those are Riverways and Dream Project classes that students who participate in Riverways tutoring in K-12 schools can take an educational equity seminar alongside their experience. And then the Dream Project Mentorship Program is a college access mentorship program, and students can take Education 260 alongside that experience. But there is a number of other programs. We have community engaged courses, we have undergraduate community-based internships, Husky Leadership Initiative, Jumpstart, which is early childhood literacy. We have a lot of community engaged opportunities for students on campus to really take advantage of and be able to engage in Seattle communities and add to their learning experience.
Yeah, and I myself am doing the Education 401 class this quarter, working with Riverways, and I'm very excited about that. I think it's going to be a really fun opportunity. So what exactly does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, so right now, a lot of my time is spent on supporting our students who are taking Education 401 seminars like yourself, Anita, or Education 260 or 369. So a lot of my work involves working with our facilitators who teach the seminars. I help kind of administer the Canvas pages, and I also prepare for next quarter. When we construct the schedules for winter, spring, and summer, that all happens like super early. So I'm already planning for like next year. And a lot of my day-to-day is just making sure that the quarter is like going smoothly, facilitators have the support that they need and the things that they need to be able to hold a really successful class. And currently right now, since we're in the beginning of the quarter, I'm helping a lot of students with their tutoring placements. That side of what I do is also in transition a little bit, but we're, you know, I'm getting a lot of students come in and asking if they can get another, like a different placement, because the ones that we have don't work with their schedule. So a lot of that stuff happens in the beginning of the quarter.
Okay, awesome. And so why did you want to enter the field of, would you describe your field as higher education?
That's an interesting kind of journey for myself. I actually got my undergraduate degree in business and economics and finance. So it wasn't necessarily a field that I knew of when I entered undergrad. I feel like when I started undergrad, I didn't really know what it would lead to, but I knew that I should probably do something practical. And so that's what I did. But as I was kind of just moving through undergrad, you know, I experienced a lot of challenges with my own undergraduate education and like access to resources and, you know, getting help. My parents didn't, I'm come from an immigrant family, so my parents didn't have a lot of knowledge of, you know, what I needed to do to take advantage of my college education. But I also spent a lot of time working in or volunteering in high schools to help students through their college application journeys. And it was through that where I found like a passion for college access. And that's kind of where I just like found my passion for higher ed. And then I, after I graduated, I worked at a community college for a couple years, and I built a lot of awesome like mentorship relationships, and my mentors there encouraged me to apply to grad school and go. I'm originally from California, and I went all the way to Boston for grad school to get a master's in higher education. And yeah, and that's kind of where I started my journey into the field. I really found my voice in grad school, and I was able to do a lot of work with K-12 schools in like a college access capacity in Boston. And I built an amazing network there. And then I came back to California and I worked here for a year, and I continued to kind of search and find, you know, where is my niche in this field. And I ended up at UW, and so I'm really excited to just apply everything I've learned to higher ed.
In undergrad, it feels like these majors are very general. The degrees are very general, and you don't necessarily know how to apply them. And then I feel like I'm also learning about a ton of fields that I didn't even know existed. Would you say that getting a master's degree in higher education is necessary for a career in higher education? Or how valuable do you think that experience was, and how valuable would it be for other people that are interested in entering this field?
I think that's a really important question. So I don't necessarily think a degree is necessary if you want to enter the field. I think for myself, I felt like I needed, like I had more learning to do. And I realized that accessing like a graduate program and a graduate degree, you know, there's privilege in being able to access it. I just felt like I knew this was a step that I wanted to take for myself, and that I needed this structured learning environment to be able to really thrive in the field, and to also be able to do the work that I want to do in higher ed specifically, to be able to kind of move forward. And, you know, if there's a specific type of work that you want to do in the field, a graduate degree may be necessary for those things. And that's often a narrative that I heard a lot in grad school, that folks were getting a master's because they reached a point where they couldn't move forward in higher ed. And, you know, for example, you want to eventually one day be a dean, or a graduate degree is necessary for that. But I think to enter the field, you don't need one, but to be able to kind of move forward. But there's a lot of reflection that needs to happen in what you want to do with your career and kind of where you want to take it. And then you can take that step to, I think, get a master's degree. It's a big commitment to go to grad school and to get a degree like a master's or a doctorate. There's a lot of time, there's a lot of money that you have to spend, and time, you know, time is money too. I knew for myself that I was willing to make that sacrifice, you know, for my future. And so I think it takes a lot of reflection and just talking to folks about the field to really decide to take that step to grad school.
Okay, yeah, that definitely makes sense. What would you say were the most valuable skills grad school helped you build?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my program, we had to work while we were in school. So it was a very practical program. So as I was going through my academic classes, I was working like a graduate assistantship at the same time. I was running a college access program. I was doing a lot of community partnership work. And so I was able to apply like what I was learning in my academic courses like the next day to like my job. And so that like theory to practice type of structure in my program, I think it allowed for just so much learning to happen and so much growth to happen in like a short amount of time. And so the skills were communication. I learned just a lot of administrative skills in terms of program management and delegating tasks and supervising folks. But I think the number one skill as an educator that I learned in grad school was just how to sit with students and how to create a student-centered learning environment. One of the most practical classes I took was counseling techniques, and we just learned how to talk to students and how to ask questions so that students are reflecting and that we are, you know, promoting a safe and inclusive environment for all students. I know, like, for that counseling techniques class, I still use a lot of those techniques and a lot of what I learned in that class. Another really important class I took was student development theory, and it was really great and really important to know, like, how folks learn and, like, how folks develop, and all of that really informs the work that I do.
Open since 2015, Elm Coffee Roasters is devoted to high-quality coffee that's easy to brew at home and a joy to drink. At our roastery and cafe in Pioneer Square, Seattle, Elm obsessively roasts small batches of coffee that they source with a focus on sustainable practices that lift up the whole supply chain and protect the future of the coffee plant. Elm's goal is to make a truly exceptional cup of coffee and an experience you look forward to every morning. Cafes in Pioneer Square and SLU open now for takeout, and soon dine-in service. Please use code PODCAST at elmcoffeeroasters.com for 15% off your next order. Now back to the show.
Yeah, it's great that you can bring those skills you learned over to the UW. Earlier you said that the position at UW met a lot of your personal goals and values, and what exactly are those goals, and what are the most fulfilling elements of working at your job at UW?
Yeah, so as I was kind of going through grad school, I think initially I had gone to grad school and I really wanted to continue to work in, like, the college access space. And there's a lot of, like, you know, there's a lot of different jobs you can get, like, working specifically in college access, but that is a very specific space. But as I was kind of working with students in K-12 and college students, I don't know, I just realized how different our students learn and how, like, over, like, each class of students is gonna learn differently. And so I became really interested in, like, student learning and, like, teaching and learning. Through that experience, I developed, like, a new goal of mine, which is to kind of enter the space within higher education of teaching and learning. And in this job, I am teaching. I'm teaching, currently I'm teaching a 401 seminar, but I also help facilitate our Education 260 course for Germ Project and 369. And I think what's great about them is I also get to be a part of a teaching and learning community with the facilitators that teach 401 and with our students who work with Education 260. We have mentorship coordinator interns who help facilitate that class. So this job really spoke to me in terms of being able to really engage with teaching and student learning in a really, like, thoughtful and transformative way. So, and what I love about higher ed is that teaching can happen, like, without a lot of, I guess, standards. You know, in K-12, there's a lot of state standards and things you have to follow, particularly in public education. And I'm a huge advocate for public education, but there's a lot of issues within K-12 that you have to address, structural things and bureaucracy. And in higher ed, we kind of have this freedom to really be creative in a classroom. So I was really excited to do that in this job. And I hope that in the future I can continue to teach, but also eventually work with faculty and help faculty teach. And I think that's really, and, you know, as I think about the trajectory of my career, you know, I'm thinking about impact too. And, you know, how, you know, if I start working with faculty, or if I'm able to help faculty with their teaching practice in a number of subjects, you know, how many students am I able to reach? And then how many students are we able to help persist throughout their undergrad careers? Because a huge thing I noticed, particularly with students who are first generation and students from low socioeconomic backgrounds, they may have been the highest achieving students in their public high school, and they come to college and things are completely different, and the jump from high school to college is like is a lot. And a lot of that has to do, I think, with how professors teach. So my hope is that eventually I work with faculty, and that can make an impact on persistence for historically disenfranchised student populations.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that feeling of adjustment from a public school. Definitely something I struggled with. So you sort of got at it a little bit there, but are there any elements or parts of your jobs that are particularly the most challenging or frustrating?
For me, the one thing that is always the most frustrating in like an educational environment is it's usually the institution and like all of the bureaucracy and like the approvals you need to get to do things. And before UW, I was also at a public research institution, and there was just so many different, like a lot of red tape within our job. And, you know, it has to do with access too, and like how we can get resources for students. So navigating the institution and like the different policies they have always tends to be kind of the most challenging part of our jobs.
Yeah, especially since UW is such a big school, there are so many parts to it. It's hard to keep track of everything. Yeah, I think it's really cool that you're helping like first gen, low income students navigate the school, because sometimes it feels like you can get easily lost and easily forgotten about. What is something someone who is interested in entering higher education as a career should know, in your opinion?
I think that number one, there are a number of ways to work in higher ed, and there's a number of ways to enter the field, and that there, like, you can be creative and innovative in how you want to be involved, because institutions across the country are doing a lot of different things. There's a lot of different policies, and there's just a lot of different types of jobs out there. So I would advise folks to like really think about what it is that you want to do and what impact you want to have. And then you can kind of frame your search that way in entering higher ed. I would say another piece of advice is, you know, network. Even before you are making any big moves or anything, like do informational interviews. You'll be surprised like how small the community is within higher education. And with those of us who work as like higher ed professionals, like it can be a really small community. And even though there are like, I don't know, over 4,000 institutions in the US, like the network is small. And so you never know who you might get acquainted with and what doors might open if you do like these informational interviews just to get information on folks' like experiences and the different things that they're involved in. So I would always advise folks to like just reach out. People in higher ed are very open to helping you. But another piece of advice that I think, or not, just something else that I think folks should know is, and that I personally want, like, I want to be transparent with folks about, is just like salary and pay. You know, I know all students in undergrad and just everyone everywhere is like, pay is a huge thing. And so don't expect like anything crazy, but that's another piece that should definitely be asked when you're doing informational interviews and when you're reaching out to people in the field is like, okay, what's a typical salary going to be? But don't expect anything crazy. It is what it's going to be sometimes. And, you know, I can speak for myself and say that like, I'm in this field because I love it and I have to do what I love to be able to persist and continue. And like, I'm super grateful to like be in my role. And, you know, you can always make it work. But I know folks might have other opinions about that.
I was gonna say, like, that's something that I also think about a lot, about compromising maybe your personal values or your goals or what you want to do for like a higher salary or higher pay. It's something that I guess it's a trade-off you always have to be thinking about.
I think that's a pattern, is a lot of times for people, the most fulfilling jobs for them aren't going to be anything close to the highest paying jobs they could get. So for an undergrad who's pretty sure they want to do something in higher education, sort of similar to you in education equity, what would you say are the most valuable skills they should be focusing on right now?
That's a good question. I would say communication. So because institutions and education are really political environments, it's important to be like clear and transparent in your communication. So in verbal communication and written communication. So learning how to just practicing that and being really intentional about with your words and, you know, about how you're communicating with folks written and verbally, because those are things that come up. And it's unfortunate that we live or that this field is so political, but, you know, it is a reality of the field. And so having really just practicing communication and being really self-aware in how you're speaking to others. And then I think along those same lines is just self-awareness. This field is moving towards, and in most spaces is moving towards more of an equity focus. I know for myself, equity and anti-racism and anti-oppressive frameworks are really foundational for my own practice. And I would say a lot of institutions, particularly public institutions, hold those pieces really close and hold those as values, as fundamental values. So as an undergrad student, I would say be really self-aware about your own biases and focus on, I guess, reflection throughout your undergrad experience, you know, taking time throughout perhaps the quarter to really just reflect on what is coming up for you during the quarter. How are you showing up for others? How are you showing up for yourself? And I know reflection happens in a lot of ways for different people. So just taking that time to reflect, especially for UW students, because y'all are on a quarter system. You're like moving 100 miles per hour, but it's really important to take that time to just sit with yourself and reflect. So that reflection skill is going to come up in any educational space, especially when you're working in a very student-facing role, like a teaching role or a student support role. You have to consistently like debrief and reflect with others on like how you're serving students. So practicing that reflection skill with yourself is really essential.
Right now, of course, you're still settling into your role at the UW, but what do you see for yourself in the future? What are your next steps?
Yeah, so I feel like I just started something new, but it is important to think about, you know, how my personal goals are aligned with what I'm doing now. For me, I think my next step right now is to just get a handle of my job and making sure that, you know, I'm getting what I want out of this position and that I'm also, you know, really mastering the skills and the essential pieces of my role. I think for myself, you know, I don't necessarily know what the future holds, but I am thinking about another degree, whether it's an educational doctorate or a PhD. You know, I have more questions. I feel like I'm not done with just like my educational journey. And no one ever really is. I think I'm always going to be a forever eternal learner. But I do think perhaps, you know, a terminal degree might be my future. I don't think it'll be in the next few years, but it might be around the corner.
It's interesting that you work in higher education while also kind of being a student yourself or very recently attending school. And do you think that working in like with students and in higher education kind of inspires you to keep learning?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think I learn from students all the time. You know, and a lot of my job is just listening to students, and I'm always curious about what their experience is like, because yeah, I was in school maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I graduated from undergrad. I feel like things have changed so drastically, especially with the pandemic. And so I'm always curious to know what students' experiences are and kind of where they're at, so I can meet them where they are. And that in itself is, you know, it's a forever learning experience. But I think students inspire me all the time to continue learning and engaging with learning in different subject areas. I have my passion areas, but for example, I'm not a science person. I never have been, but I work, interestingly enough, in grad school, I was working with a STEM-based college access program, and I was learning all about these like different things in STEM, like coding and like hydroponics. I had no idea what those things were, but I was really inspired by students who were so excited about these things, and I learned so much from them. So yeah, I think like students inspire me all the time to continue learning and to continue growing. And so I always tell them, like, this isn't a space where I'm telling you knowledge and I'm giving you knowledge. This is a space where we're collectively learning together. I'm just here to support you.
The last one is, for a UW student interested in higher education, would you say getting connected with the CELI Center is definitely something that would be helpful for them?
Oh yeah, I think so. There is a huge network within the CELI Center of folks who, I know I'm not the only one with a higher ed degree in our center. So just that opportunity, like, in that access to folks in the center, and getting acquainted with them and just like learning about their experience. There is so much richness in our center in terms of experience and education, and like with multiple levels and layers of education. I know we have folks who taught in public schools for a long time. We have folks who have taught in college and at UW and in different spaces. So there's a lot of just the network within our center is really rich and really incredible. So I would definitely, whether or not you want to get into higher ed or education in any form, you know, I would still say get acquainted and like drop by Mary Gates Hall 171 and just like introduce yourself and get to know people, because it's a really rich network, one that I honestly haven't ever seen before in my career, all in one space. So yeah, absolutely.
That definitely sounds really helpful. Well, I think that's all our questions for you today. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and give some insight on the career. And we appreciate all the work you're doing for education equity.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of How Do I Get Your Job? And thanks to Netta for chatting with us today. This has been Anita Zen.
This has been Patrick Harley, signing off.